Happy 9th anniversary. Yay. Thinking back, when we first met at, what was that place called? Hilton Garden, that small hotel. I think the average age went from 30, somewhere in mid-30 to 40s now, after 9 years. Say to one another, happy anniversary. We are Catalyst Agape Church, and the name Catalyst we name our church Catalyst because it's a church that God's going to use to cause change, right? We have agape is because it's not through, like a business type of mentality, looking at statistic and, the change happens not through human effort, but through the love, power, and the presence of God. Okay? That's why we say catalyst agape, it's something that God has to do. And the vision for Catalyst is, this took like 1 year for us to get it as a church. I remember Sunday, what's the vision? And people didn't remember, but now, and after 9 years, we have it. The vision of Catalyst is breaking boundaries. Amen. Forerunners breaking boundaries, and the reason we use forerunners is the word forerunners is because we want to emphasize that we're not focused on the building. We're not focused on the sound system or the lighting, but we're focused on you. Okay? You are the forerunners. The church is the people in the church. And the Lord is in you. The Lord is with you. And the Lord wants to use you. Okay? Wants to use you. The wrong picture of a disciple, again, I want to use forerunners because, again, the word disciple, I think when people think about disciple, it's just people who go to Bible study and go to church on Sundays, nowadays, in the modern time. But though, but we are using forerunners to communicate this biblical picture of a disciple. God wants to use you, forerunners, to initiate change in the world. Okay? In the world. This is what God wants to do in you and me. Now, we have, again, for anniversary, we just want to go through the vision and then the value, catalyst value. There's four boundaries that we want to break or change. Another boundaries, breaking boundary meaning change or to grow in. And, we have four values. That's membership, maturity, ministry, and missions, okay? The PowerPoint's a little delayed, but number one is membership. I should have made it bigger, okay? Membership. And membership, when I cast a vision for the church, I try to put it in a different way so that we could see from different perspective. Another way of thinking membership is growing in God's love. Say to your neighbor, I want to grow in God's love. Right? And so it's about love. Membership is about love. It's not the classes that you take to become a member of this church, okay? It's not the requirement that you need to fill. When we say membership, it's about breaking boundaries, growing in God's love. And so for a forerunner, first has to be able to do that, we ourselves have to encounter God's love, okay? We have to encounter God. If you go to church and you feel, the church is, there's no love in this church, you did not encounter the love of God. You have to first encounter the love of God. And when you encounter the love of God, it doesn't just stop there, but God's love flows out of you and touches the people around you. Okay, this is what we're talking about in membership. That's what John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35 says. A new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. Okay? And this is the love You know, it's not about this just human effort of trying to, you know, it's very hard to love from human effort. But what the Bible says is, as I have loved you, you encountered the love of God. As I have loved you. A lot of Christians, what they do is they just try to love without encountering the love of God. And I think that's impossible. That's impossible. You're trying to love from an emptiness. Right? But what God wants you to do is love other out of fullness. Out of fullness. You encountered the love of God. As I have loved you, you must love one another. You must love one another. And I think when a church, they don't encounter the love of God, you know, they just teach about love, but there's no love. Right? What does the disciple of Jesus look like? This passage clearly says love. Okay? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Okay? So this is a great way to show that we are a disciple. Because when people come to this church, they feel loved. They feel loved. And it's not this, again, but this love is not this ordinary kind of love. Not this pressure, you know, just, I think human love is a lot of pressure, you know. You feel pressure or stress, so you do things for people. Right? But it's an overflowing thing. What is, and how do we describe God's love? Okay, what is God's love? It's in Romans 5. I didn't put it up, but this is what the Bible says. God demonstrates his own love for us. Okay, as Jesus loved you, how did he love us? As God demonstrates his own love for us in this. This is what the Bible says. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. So, our goal at Catalyst is not to be a perfect church. You know, because we live in a broken world. You are broken and I'm broken. People around you are broken. And so, our goal is not to try to create a church where there will be no disappointment. Where there's no conflict. A place where you won't be misjudged, or a place where nobody make any mistake, nobody shows any weakness or a character flaw. Huh? If that's the church you're looking for, and you tell me if you found that church, and if you find that church, you tell me, I'll go to that church. You know what it is? They're just, you know, it's a church that they can't be themselves. They're just performing. Okay? They can't be vulnerable, it means. A church that can't be vulnerable. It will be a place where people are just pretending. A people where they're hiding. People where they're putting on masks. So that Sunday, it looked like it's perfect. Everybody's perfect. Then they go home. And their spouse will tell you they're not perfect. Their children will tell you they're not perfect. Right? So that's not the church that we want, right? Say it to your neighbor, that's not the church I want. But what God says is we need to show love, and that love is while we were still sinners. Right? What that means is God is not afraid of your weakness. You know, you see, what that means is God wants to touch you in your weakness. That's love. I'm waiting, okay, I'm not going to touch you, I'm not going to get to know you, I don't want to get involved in your life until you are perfect. That's not love. Right? In our weakness, God touches us. Why does he touch us in our weakness? Because he loves us so much, he wants to heal us. He wants to set us free. He wants to redeem. He wants to sanctify. He wants to break boundaries in your life because he loves you. I'm not talking about performance when I say break boundaries. When parents, when you love your child, you want to see them grow. You want to see them change. Okay? And so Without love, okay, membership without love, you cannot break boundaries. Okay? So that's why we need love, but not just any ordinary love, but God's love. Okay? And the church said. And number two, maturity. Okay, number two, maturity. And this is membership is growing in God's love. And number two, maturity is growing in God's heart. Say to your neighbor, I want to grow in God's heart. So membership is about love. Maturity is about heart. Okay? And this is my kind of like the, I believe, my understanding of the heart when the Bible talks about heart. In your heart, okay, is your human spirit. In your heart is your mind, right, your thoughts. In your heart is your emotion. And in your heart is your will. Okay, it's your will. And in the garden, before the fall, what happened was there was a spirit-to-spirit connection. Spirit of, you know, God with your human spirit connection. And when that happened, it's like the vine and the branch in illustration in the Bible, where God is the vine and you are the branch and his life flows through you. And when his life flows through you, there's much fruit. Okay, much fruit. And it's another illustration is in Ezekiel 47. From the temple, the Bible says in the New Testament, you are the temple. From the temple, a water started flowing. And this water was trickle at first, but they got more and more. And it became a flood. It became a river. It became so wide. This river became so wide that people couldn't cross upon it. And the Bible says this: whatever this river touched, there was life. There was life. That's because of the spirit-to-spirit connection. Right? And so what happens when there's a spirit-to-spirit connection, right, with God, you have healthy emotions. Okay? You have your mind is renewed. In Romans 12, it talks about that. Okay? You have healthy thoughts. And that's where there's transformation. There's you break boundaries there. And your will, you know, you're able to, your will is healthy, so you obey God. Okay? You make the decision to follow God. But after the fall, what happened was there was a spirit-to-spirit disconnection when sin came into the world. Right? And so when there's a spirit-to-spirit disconnection, what happens? There's rejection, there's shame, there's fear, there's condemnation that came into our heart. And those things cause death to our spirit, death to our emotion, death to our mind, and death to our will. It's very difficult to obey God. Right? And so, but maturity, okay, what is maturity? What are we trying to break boundaries in? Maturity is about, membership is about growing God's love. Maturity is about growing in God's heart. Reestablishing that spirit-to-spirit connection. Right? It's about redeeming. Membership is about redeeming love. Maturity is about redeeming your heart. Okay? Amen? Number three, ministry. And it's about growing in God's calling. Growing in God's calling. And this is so important. You know, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't look at this person is more talented. This person could sing better. This person has more. Don't look at that. Huh? Maturity means growing in God's calling. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen people. Say that to your neighbor. Say to your neighbor, you are a royal priesthood. Huh? What you look at is, don't compare yourself, okay? Don't compare yourself, but look at what the Bible says. You are a royal priesthood. Every forerunner has a calling. You're called. You're chosen, and that you are called. And this is the great encouragement, you know, when I look at the gospel, how Jesus called his disciple into ministry, into serving. Okay, into serving, because many of you, you know, we think too much about serving. We do. We think, overthink it. Right? The way, what you got to look at is what Jesus did with his disciples. And you know what he did? He didn't go for the most powerful. He didn't go for the most accomplished. He didn't go for the most beautiful. He didn't go for the most charismatic or most popular or most famous or the richest. The people he called weren't that impressive. They didn't stand out. That's why when the leaders of Jerusalem saw the apostles, you know what they said? They are ordinary people, uneducated. Jesus went to ordinary people and called them his own. You are chosen people. And the great news about God's calling his people is that God calls people that's ordinary. Okay? I'm not trying to insult you. Okay? You are ordinary. I am ordinary. God, meaning, God called imperfect people to do his perfect work. Right? And I believe what the enemy tries to do is he makes you compare yourself to other people. He makes you go, I gotta wait till I have more information. I gotta wait till I know how to do this better. I gotta wait. And then you're 55 years old. Right? I'm gonna be 55. I think that's why 55 came. Yeah? And see, when I look at, can you imagine, you know, I was a drug addict, you know, black sheep in the community. I became a Christian, you know. And when I became a Christian, I wasn't eloquent. I didn't have a charismatic personality. Can you imagine, you know, back then, I couldn't sing. A Christian who couldn't sing, you know. Didn't play any instrument. Yeah, I know, right? Can you be, you know, no instrument. I wasn't well known. You know, when I started ministry, full-time ministry, I had the smallest youth group in all the churches in Philadelphia. You know, because among all my friends, I started with 3 youth group kids in Philadelphia. You know, I had character flaws. I struggled with a lot of things. But the only one thing I held on to, okay, I'm chosen. Okay? I am a royal priesthood. Everything else said the opposite. But I remember, after I became a Christian, I am called. You know, you can't sing, I am called. Huh? You can't play guitar. I am called. I am called by God. God can use imperfect vessel to do his perfect work. Okay? Ministry. Breaking boundaries and calling. Growing in God's calling for you. It's just, you know, God's calling for you, not what you want to do, not trying to impress people, you know, but God's calling for you. Number 4, missions. So maturity, I mean, membership is love, growing in God's love. Ministry, membership is growing in love. Right? Maturity is heart, growing in heart. Ministry is growing in calling, God's calling. And mission is growing in God's power. Growing in God's power. Now, to illustrate that power, I like this passage, Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. You are the light of the world. Because, you know, the light, without power, there's no light. You know that, right? You need power to have light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Okay? He didn't save us. What that means is he didn't save us so that you just go to a lot of meetings. He didn't save you just to warm the seats. God wants to move through you so that you could change the world. Okay? That you could change the world. Not compromise with the world, not be separated from the world, hide from the world, or never interact with the world. Not to judge and hate the people of the world, but to transform the world, to love the people of the world, to heal the sick and brokenhearted, bring peace where there's conflict, to show grace where there's hatred, to change the world with the love of God. It's not, our job is not to demonize people. Huh? Point out sins. Our job is to change the world, to set them free, to change their life. You are the light of the world. Okay? Jesus is saying, if you are the light, you see the people outside of the church differently. But people with religious spirit, they kind of show the wrong kind of light. That kind of light saying, we are separate. You look down on people. You point out, you use the light to point out people's weaknesses, to show that you are better than them. You wrongly use the light to point out sin, to argue with people, to judge, to criticize, okay? To demonize. Jesus did not demonize the prostitute. Jesus did not demonize the tax collectors. You know, he demonized the Pharisees. Yeah, he did. He goes, you snake, you brood of vipers. It was the religious spirit that he demonized. Right? See, what is the true light? Using the light to show that they're sinners? No. Light doesn't point out what's wrong with you. True power of light. When light shines, what happens? Darkness flee. Right? Darkness flee. When darkness flee, where there's bondage, there's freedom. Where there's demonic activity, there's victory. Where there's hopelessness, there's hope. Where there's hatred, there is love. The lost is saved. People come to the Lord. People love the Lord. And their life is transformed by the love, power, and the presence of God. Okay? Next slide. What I want to do is kind of go over all the ministries of Catalyst. You know, Acts chapter 1. Okay, it's really small. I'm sorry. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power. This is Acts 1:8 is our theme verse for Catalyst. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, you're breaking boundary from Jerusalem to Judea. And you break boundary from Judea to Samaria. You break boundary from Samaria to the ends of the earth. Okay? So, and this is, like, that's why we call Catalyst agape. Agape is by the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit, not human power. I try to do a church through human power, and I don't want to do that anymore. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you will be my witness, meaning you die to yourself, and Christ lives in you. Another word for witness, like a martyr. Huh? And you'll be my witness. And when God lives in you, what happened? Huh? You go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this is what we're trying to do in our church. And I'm trying to figure out what is a good way to show that our ministry, how we are involved in Acts 1:8. How are we? Well, so I came up with this. Next slide. Okay, and see Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right? There are ministry that's focusing on Jerusalem. Jerusalem is what's going on in your heart and in your home. That, to me, is Jerusalem. Judea is your church community. And then we start going into outside of our church, into our community here, that's Samaria, and then we do missions into the earth. Now, if you look at Jerusalem, we have foundation classes. That's part of the Catalyst School that helps you, you know, in discipleship and knowing the truth, the Word of God. We have the Bible studies. I believe men have it on Mondays, Bible studies, and there's women's Bible studies too. And then renewal is part of Catalyst School. Renewal is dealing with all the baggage and issues of our past and the things that's in our heart, and start walking out the healing and freedom that God has for you. And then we have counseling, we have parent seminar, we have marriage seminar, and then we go to Judea. Okay, I'm gonna talk, you know, this coming out with this graph took me longer than preparing the sermon. I should have asked somebody else to do this. I tried to do a word processor, I couldn't do it. And next, you go to Judea. Judea is our church community. We have worship, we have men's ministry, we have, you know, developing relationship in the church with women's ministry, hospitality ministry, welcome ministry, finance team, you know, the multimedia ministry team, you know, here. And different church activities like picnics, and we have some outings. It's not just to eat when we do have picnic, it is to build relationship with one another. You know, the men went out to golf yesterday. It's not to have the highest score, but it was to build relationship in the church. Right? And then we have different church training. Right? That's Judea. And Samaria, okay, now in Samaria, we're trying to reach outside of the church. Samaria, we have the Catalyst City. You know, that's the Brookside Ministry. They have Saturday night meetings with the people in Brookside, which is the elderly. They have every month, they go and minister to them and build relationship with them. And we also have Manaki Ministry, which is a place just, you know, 10 minutes away, right? And then Manaki Ministry to go into the Samaria. We have Beautiful Gate Ministry. Okay, we have Beautiful Gate Ministry, and that is for the revival, you know, through worship, prayer, healing, the Holy Spirit, you know, for the region. And we are working together for overflow. And once we start doing that, did you notice if you came to overflow, okay, there are people from different churches coming now. Okay? I don't know if you noticed it. Last healing service, you know, healing service, like 60% of the people were not from our church. Before we had overflow, 99% from our church and 2 people from Metro or something like that, you know. And then we have JFM, which is the Jericho Fall Ministry, and that is ministering to raise up disciples in the youth of this region, Right? And because of that ministry, we're helping out, JFM is helping out many churches with weak youth ministry. Right? We had a worship night here. I believe first time we had a worship night here, JFM with the JFM ministry, there must have been about 150, 200 youth from the region here worshiping. Right? And then the TLC is the Transformation Life Church. Okay, we need to pray for that church because with that senior pastor, I've been building a relationship with that senior pastor, Jim Armpriester, for 5 years. Six years. And because of that relationship now, we could do things together with that church. Partner together. You know, they came to do parent seminar. We had a joint a Good Friday service together. And now we could talk about, hey, can we do different outreach in the region together? And can we partner together in training? Can we partner together in missions? That's the Transformation Life Church. And there's a church that's meeting here at 2 o'clock. CJC, well, we say CJC because the full name is Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? CLJC. And this is a Spanish-speaking church that meets here, but we're also building relationship with them. And their last time, they helped out with Manaki outreach because in Manaki, there's so many Spanish-speaking, you know, people there, right? And so with CJC. And then finally, ends of the earth. ends of the earth, is please pray. We were praying about Montreal. There is a church, English congregation in the Korean church called Alive Church. Alive Church. This month, they're going to have a congregational vote. This month. Okay? This month. For independence. So if they get the independence as an Alive Church, our church is going to mentor them. And as we mentor them, we're going to partner with them. As they grow, we're going to partner with them. And through that relationship, it will become one of the church in AMI, the Alive Church. Yay. Okay. And of course, we have the AMI missions that, you know, AMI is a group that all these different churches are working together to do missions and church planting. And we have missions in China, different cities in China, Vietnam, Singapore, Guatemala, and Indonesia. And so we also, with AMI. And if you go down, we have the Life Group, which helps with Jerusalem. Okay, Life Group, Jerusalem, and Judea. And I want to, and we, Yonggi was doing financial peace. What I, it was for our church member to disciple them so that you become a better steward. But just at last time, there was somebody from outside of our church who signed up, I think, And I see this potential with Financial Peace University. It will help other people outside of our church. We have the youth group with Jerusalem, Judea. Children Ministry, Jerusalem, Judea. The Intercessory Ministry, the intercession team, is for the whole thing. You got to pray, okay? You interpret dreams, but you also intercede for Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? And then we have the Upper Room that we meet on Wednesday. And again, there we pray for marriages, we pray for children, we pray for the church, we pray for the community, we pray for the government, we pray for the president, right? And we pray for missions. And that's for the whole thing. And then AMI covers the whole church. Covers me, covers the leadership, covers the church and the missions that we do. Amen? So what I want you to think about right now, let's look at this, right? Some of you, well, in our church, I don't know the exact percentage, but I believe almost 60-70% of our church members are involved in one of those ministries, or five of those ministries, or six of, about 60-70%. And I am so thankful for that. Most churches is 20-80. 20% of the people in the church do all the ministry, okay? But not in this church. It's about 60, I think, don't quote me on this, but when I count the people that's involved, there's a lot of you involved in so many ministry here. But I think about 60-70%. We want to get to 100. Did you hear me? Why? Because each one of you are important to the body of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, don't tell this part of the body you don't need them. Right? Don't say to yourself, I'm not the eye, so I'm not that important. Right? Can you imagine a church body where just 20% of your body works? Just one arm and one feet works. No. A biblical standard for a church is every part of the body is connected and working. Right? And that's when we're going to see the power. If only 20% of the church are working, don't even think about revival. Okay? We're about 60-70. We're going to get to 80 to hold the revival that God has for us. Amen? Okay, let's pray.